That's okay, because we're always supposed to be prepared to share. So let's see how this goes. Hopefully you are blessed by this, because this is something that crosses my mind a lot. Thanks. So I guess this might sound weird, but do you ever think back and be thankful for the doors that God closed and the times that he said, this isn't for you, this is not where I want you to be? And then at the time, you're like, I'm not sure what you're doing here, what the plan is. But I always go back to that verse in Isaiah 55, that passage in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And most of you know it here. I'm going to read it just so I don't mess it up. But it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So as we often look back and be like, well, why didn't I get that job? Why? You know, I'll give you an example. In 2008, I left a construction job, was going to take a job working for the Quebec government in Canada. The economy tanked big time. They cut the position. Ended up working at a golf course for several years, and then ended up reconnecting with Catherine, and then now I'm here. So the Lord has a real sense of humor with all that stuff. But you just think back, you like the time, you're like, that was such a good opportunity, the job itself. But then the God has bigger plans. But as you think about this passage in Isaiah, I'm just reminded of Joseph and how that worked out, how God had a plan for him, you know, sold into slavery. And then everyone knows the story of Joseph, so I don't have to go into detail. But I hopefully that's an encouragement to you, just to remember that when the door closes, God has bigger plans. And not always easy to see, but we trust in God and we thank him for just thank him for everything. And you know, you can question him and you can say, why, Lord, what's your plan here? And hopefully he gives you an answer, but eventually he will. But we have to be patient. The Lord knows. All right, that's all I had.
The first person you meet is going to ask you,
how was the turkey?
How was your Thanksgiving, right? And what they're really asking is the how, what, where, when. When did you have Thanksgiving? Who was there? What did you eat? Did you have a good time? But God has a question for us. And the answer to that, we've already studied. It's in Ephesians 5. You know what God's question for us is? How is your Thanksgiving? It's personal. How are you doing with your Thanksgiving? Oh, I didn't bring my other pair of glasses, so you get to see me as glassless. So, Ephesians 5, which we've studied before. So this is just a reminder. We'll start with verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let be not once named among you, but as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous person who is an adulterer hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Skip to 15. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not unique to Christians to give thanks. You don't have to know the Lord to be a thankful person. Right? I know thankful people who don't know the Lord. But if you know the Lord, understands his grace, and have been forgiven, you ought to be a thankful person. We ought to become what we are, new creatures in Christ with a new attitude towards life, a new attitude towards the things around us, a new willingness to follow the Lord and an appreciation of what he's done for us. We just heard that we ought to be thankful for doors that are closed, right? Thankful in all things. That the believer, because of the new life that we live, should be a thankful person. So what is that new life like? In 15 it says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We ought to walk carefully as Christians because we know the Lord. As when I was part of teen camp for over 20 years, we used to take the 50, 60, 70, 80 kids to climb Mount Washington. And they had to understand that you had to walk carefully, because if you twisted your ankle, if you hurt yourself, that impacted everybody. And it was dangerous when you're on the top of the mountain to hurt yourself. And sometimes we had to carry people down. But you had to walk circumspectly. And in the beginning of the chapter, it says, as it says in Psalm 1, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It says, we were in darkness, and now we're in light. We were old creation, now we're new. We had an old life, and now God's given us a new life in him. Don't walk like you did before. We ought to be different. Then he says, not only are we to walk carefully, but it says we're to walk redeeming the time in light of the fact that we're only here for so long, and that every day is a gift from God. Because the days are evil. You know, our language has kind of devolved, and I'm almost done. Our language has almost devolved, and we don't call anything evil or wicked. We say they're not so good, or we don't call anybody foolish. They're just silly people. But God does. God calls foolish people. Foolish people are those who take the broad way that leads to destruction, and wise people are those who take the narrow way that lead to life. God is not ashamed to call things out the way they really are. And what do we do? Therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Christians are thinking people. You know, when you get up in the morning, we're not to think in terms of what will bring me pleasure or joy today, what will cause me to have some significance in my life. What will result in me earning some money or rewards to be able to share with other people even? God wants us to think about his will. And what is his will? You know that. That we be conformed to the image of his son. Does he care whether we marry a blonde or a brunette? Does he care whether you live in, as Frank, Dayton, Ohio, or whether you live in Mystic, Connecticut? Does he care whether you drive a broken-down Hudson, which is what I used to drive, or whether I drive a Honda? God doesn't care. But he does care while you're driving the Honda, while you're married to your wife, and while you're living in Mystic, that you walk in his will. He wants you to know. He wants you to know what his will is. He wants you to be a thinking person. Speaking to yourselves in hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He wants us to be joyful or rejoicing people. But as you notice, it says, but in 18, be filled with the Spirit. And the way, it's not manipulating your behavior from the outside. In other words, we're not just walking circumspectly. We're not just thinking Christians because that's what God says to do. It's because internally God is changing us to think right, to walk carefully, and now to rejoice. It's not an external that gets us a reward of salvation or pleasing. It's a desire from the inside that reveals a heart that the Spirit gives us. A new heart to rejoice in the Lord. A new mind to think right on spiritual things. And a new will that enables us to live for the Lord. And ultimately, what has it said? Giving thanks always and all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You catch that? Thankful always, constantly, for all things. Comprehensive. You don't leave some things out that you don't like. You got to put them all in there, as we just heard. All things, constantly. So what does a Christian life look like? Walking carefully. Thinking constantly, like the Lord would have us think. Rejoicing in the Lord and giving thanks, because he's given us a heart that appreciates what he's done for us. Constantly and comprehensively. I'm not so good at that. You know, when I first got cancer, I wasn't particularly happy about that. But I've had the opportunity to share with more people, hundreds of people, about what it's like to have cancer because they had cancer. And now I have a way to identify with them and a way to share the Lord. It's amazing how many patients come to me just to ask about my prostate, even though they're somebody else's patient. They come to me because I have a different perspective than their doctor does. So it's been a privilege. And so that's Thanksgiving is a question of how is your thankfulness. But I bet you the first person asked you, how was your Thanksgiving?
I didn't even talk. I don't have a passage, per se, to share with you all. There's just some things I just wanted to, what better time now than now to say what you're thankful for. I was reflecting on being thankful, in particular with Wellspring. I'm really, really, really grateful for this fellowship. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. We are a weird, eclectic group of people. We are a bizarre group of people. Yeah. And I so appreciate the practical love that is shared. I so appreciate the fellowship. I was reflecting, I was sharing with Greg Wednesday night after prayer meeting. Prayer ended. John closed. And nobody moved. There have been times where I have been in fellowships that when closed in prayer, it was like someone pulled the fire alarm and everybody just skedaddled like bugs when you turn the light on in the kitchen, right? And what a blessing it was to see the folks gathered there just to sit and enjoy each other's company. And to me, that, again, I just see the mind of Christ at work. People enjoying, as for all the weird ways we're different, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ infusing and showing itself in a very practical way. People love each other. So thankful for that. And so grateful for answered prayer in this past year. And I know I'm going to count on my brother John, because I know he keeps track. John keeps a notebook. of answered prayer, but I was and kind of for the whole assembly, but just thinking of for the stuff that my wife and I have asked for prayer specifically for, and to see how God has interceded in those situations. Just so grateful for and knowing that it forever part that I played in those situations was inconsequential, because I know I'm not very smart and I'm not very wise and I'm not very strong, but that God has been at work, and just what an amazing thing that is. So happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Guys, so excuse me, I didn't plan anything this morning, but Jesse and I had a really quick, brief moment through Isaiah 53 this week. I'm not going to go ahead and read the whole chapter, but a lot of the times as I go through Scripture, I'm trying to see what's the Lord showing me, what's the Lord telling me here. And I couldn't get past the first two verses, right? Because he's asking us a question, right? Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And actually, I spent like quite a bit of time just dwelling on it this week. And you know, Rob just bringing up that song, you know, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, right? I mean, I speak to so many people about Christ, and they just kind of, you know, they give you that blank stare, you know. Most people of all people have heard of Jesus Christ, but it's not to that very moment that God reveals who his son really is to us, right, that we actually have the ability to believe, you know. So as I'm sitting here this morning, I'm like super over thankful of the fact that God actually revealed himself to me by his spirit, and I had the ability to believe in the report, you know, and I'm thankful that God has saved my soul. I've been saved now, I don't know, I've been, you know, in and out for 10 years now, but I still just get overjoyed at the fact that God does it all. I didn't do any of this, you know. He's the one that opened my eyes. He's the one that opened my heart. He's the one that gave me the love to share with my family and with others. And so I just wanted to share that God's awesome. I'm very thankful that he did reveal himself to us, my wife, my kids, and we're all saved. So just thank the Lord today.
Mostly listening to my voice singing, but I was thinking about the last song that we sang, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. I don't know about you, but I'm not a person that would count trials and tribulations as a blessing. But in James, what does it tell us? In James 1, you can turn there if you'd like to. We went through James before. But in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Now, wouldn't you count it joy? Wouldn't that be in the category of blessings? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, temptations, tribulations, when you fall into that, knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. How many times have I heard people, fellow Christians, say, oh, don't pray for patience. You don't want to do that. God wants us to have patience. Let the patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given them him. My thought was, count your blessings. Do I consider the trials and tribulations that I go through as a blessing? And you know, you have to. You know why? Because that's God, how God blesses. That's how he blesses. If you don't go through a difficult situation and experience God's comfort and help, how are you going to know God's comfort and help? If you don't go through pain and affliction and look to him, how are you going to know his deliverance? Recently, I was reading a book. It's called God is Faithful. And I think we can all agree that God is faithful. But the book consists of a number of different situations that missionaries found themselves in. And in every single case, you see the deliverance of God through it. But they had to go through different testings. There's one story in there that talks about a man. He and his wife hadn't received supplies, hadn't received anything in the way of money throughout the years. Not throughout the years, I shouldn't say that, but through a period of time. So much so that they started having to sell their clothes in order to make ends meet on the mission field. And they sold everything as far as their clothes were concerned, to the point where she had one outfit and he had one pair of shorts and one shirt. That's all they had left for clothing. Then he says, I had one more test that I had to go through. And he didn't realize it ahead of time. But there was a man in this country that was very wealthy. He was a businessman, well known. And he knew of all the work that this missionary and his wife had done for the people of the country. And he called him in. And he opened up his vault. And in his vault was tons and tons of money. Tons and tons of money. And the man said to him, I appreciate and I know everything that you have done for the people. And I realize that you're in a tough strait. So just take whatever you want out of that vault there. And when you can pay me back. Well, at that, the man said, I knew that God told me, owe no man nothing but to pray, love them. Owe no man nothing but to love him. Now, if he hadn't said, pay me back, maybe the man would have taken it. But he said, for a Scotsman, that was a real temptation. But he didn't take it. And then, I don't remember how long after that, but it wasn't terribly long after that, a couple came, sent by God, with food, clothing, everything that they needed, and then some. And everything was perfect. I mean, the clothing all fitted perfectly. Everything. God provided above and beyond anything they could ask or think. But they had to go through that trial in order to receive the blessing and to know the blessing. And that trial was tough. Tough for him. And I think that many times the trials that we go through are going to be tough for us. Yes. But know that God's going to deliver and that he's going to make us into what he would have us to be. That's all I have.
Thank you, brother. Some brother here, right now you're ready to come up. I will sit down.
Can you hear me now? All right, now is your last chance. Okay. Well, here's what I have to say. Consider what all the brothers have just said. And this is Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, and with a ten-string flute, and with the harp, and with resounding music upon the lyre. That's the attitude of Christian people who know the Lord. It is good to give thanks. It is good. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there are things that come before us that are not pleasant and are not easy to deal with. But the psalmist here says, the servant of God, the psalmist says here, by the Spirit of God, it is good to give thanks. Give thanks. This was good. And we give God thanks to hear a few words spoken that offer up praise and honor and thankfulness and the Word of God. Those things are great, and it is good to give thanks. We declared his mercy and loving kindness this morning in the psalm. That was good. There's a people out there that are not praising him or giving thanks. Don't recognize his mercy. Don't recognize who he is. It was good to hear again that he's a God of mercy, that he's a God of loving kindness. And emphasized again by Dave George. It's good. And also in that same verse, it is also good to proclaim not just his loving kindness and mercy, but his faithfulness, even by night, through the whole day. I don't know, now that I'm getting older, sometimes my nights are not so good. Still good to give thanks. Good to give thanks. Even more better. Is that a word? I don't know. But much, much better to watch the sun come up and, you know, the night is over and in a few more hours they finally fall asleep. And it's good. It's great. But that's life. That is life. And it's good to give thanks. Verse 4, for you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. Each and every one of us here has something in our lives that God has made you glad in. And you give him the thanks. You give him the praise. You love him because of his goodness and his grace, his mercy. We try to express that at the breaking of bread this morning. And we want to conclude our time together here this morning that he is good. It is good to give thanks. So thank you, Lord, for each and every one in here today. Thank you for this opportunity to express, not just individually, but to express the thoughts and the hearts of everyone gathered here today and those who could not be here today. And might we, throughout the day and throughout the week, as we read in Ephesians, might we stop and think of who you are, your faithfulness, your mercy, your loving kindness, and might we conclude wherever we are, whether we're sitting, standing, walking, running, working. Holy Spirit, help us to acknowledge that it is good to give thanks. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.